John verses 13 to 17, chapter 18.
पञ्चैतानि महाबाहो पञ्चैतानि महाबाहो कारणानि निबोधने सांख्ये कृतान्ते प्रोक्तानि सांख्ये कृतान्ते प्रोक्तानि सिद्धये सर्वकर्मणां पञ्चैतानि महाबाहो कारणानि निबोधने सांख्ये कृतान्ते प्रोक्तानि सिद्धये सर्वकर्मणां अधिष्ठानं तथा कर्ताः करणं च पृथग्विधं विविधाश्च पृथक् चेष्टाः दैवं चैवात्र पञ्चमम् अधिष्ठानं तथा कर्ताः करणं च पृथग्विधं विविधाश्च पृथक् चेष्टाः दैवं चैवात्र पञ्चमम् शरीरवाङ्मनोभिर्यत् कर्म प्रारभते नरः न्यायं वा विपरीतं वा पञ्चैते तस्य हेतवः शरीरवाङ्मनोभिर्यत् कर्म प्रारभते नरः न्यायं वा विपरीतं वा पञ्चैते तस्य हेतवः तत्रैवं सति कर्तारम् आत्मानं केवलं तु यः पश्यत्यकृतबुद्धित्वा न तपश्यति दुर्मतिः तत्रैवं सति कर्तारम् आत्मानं केवलं तु यः पश्यत्यकृतबुद्धित्वा न तपश्यति दुर्मतिः यस्य नाहं मृतो भावः बुद्धिर्यस्य न लिप्यते हत्वा विषयिमान् लोकान् नहन्ति न निबध्यते यस्य नाहं कृतो भावः बुद्धिर्यस्य न लिप्यते हत्वा विषयिमान् लोकान् नहन्ति न निबध्यते
state of mind, the state that you achieve, and Tyagam is when you renounce the fruit of action. You are very much in the world, you have desires for the world, you continue acting, but the desires for the worldly objects propel, though it propels the action, the fruit of it you drop, you leave it to the totality, and that is Tyagam. Then he talked about three types of Tyagam based on the three mental temperaments called Sattvic, Rajasic and Tamasic. Tamasic Tyag is that you renounce without knowing the value, out of delusion. Right? Out of delusion, you give up something, then it's called Tamasic. When you do not know the value of it and you give it away, it's called Tamasic. Rajasic is you give it away because of the difficulty involved in it. You may have the value for it, but the difficulty in pursuing it and achieving it makes you give it up. And then it is Rajasic giving up. It's called Rajasic Tyag. Sattvic Tyag is that where you don't give up the action, but you give up the fruit, attachment, egocentric desires and egocentric attitude. That is what you give up. Action you don't give up. When you give up the action, you become inactive, lazy, lethargic. A lot of people may do that easily, but they are not able to give up the fruits. Their mind is full of object of desires. So therefore, that is not renunciation. Renunciation is where you have the value, sorry, you understand the value, but you have no value for it. Tamas is, tamasic renunciation is where you don't know the value and you give it up. Right? Rajasic is, you know the value, you have value for it, but difficulty in what to give it away. Sattvic is, you know the value, but you have no value for it. Because you have higher values of that. And hence, you don't propel your actions with desires, you propel your actions with obligations. You renounce the egocentric attitude and the fruit of action. That is called sattvic renunciation. So in sattvic renunciation, you perform action. Only renounce the fruit. Renounce the fruit means attachment to the fruit. Remember this. When the fruit comes, you don't say, I don't want it. Fruit will be there. What are the fruits when you talk about fruits in Vedanta? What is it? He explains that. He says, papam, punyam and mishra. Mishra means mixture of papam and punyam. So when our actions are propelled by good desires, we develop what is called as punyam. When our actions are propelled by selfish desires, we develop what is called as papam. When our actions are not propelled by any desires, what ought to be done, you do, then you don't incur, you neither incur pap nor punyam. But since not all of us all the time are functioning only propelled by selfish desires or unselfish desires, it's a mixture. Therefore results are also mixture. But as far as a person who's got the knowledge, he simply does what ought to be done. Therefore, he has no pap, no punyam. And the material objects which are achieved through the action, whether you get it, you don't get it, he is not affected. His mind is not attached to the result. That is called attachment to fruit being renounced. So when the fruit comes, he may accept whatever it is. Whether good result or negative result, he will accept fruit as a prasad. But his mind is not attached to the that attachment they give up. That's the most difficult thing. Isn't it? You can give away your stuff, but what about the possessiveness to those objects? That possessiveness when you have not given up, you have not really given up on it. And this sort of renunciation is possible by taking up higher. And then when you finally get completely established in the higher, then your mind itself is not interested in the worldly things. Then you are at the moment in the state of sannyas. From tyag you reach the state of sannyas. So now he is going to explain to us the jnana. What is the jnana which will make us do this? The jnana, like I already told you, 13th chapter is a summary of what we have studied. 18th chapter is a summary of what we have studied. Main thing that Krishna wants to tell us here is, when there is no doership in the action, there is no papa or punya. And the doership will go when you understand that your atma, which is your original self, is not doing anything. As long as you don't understand that, you will continue to identify with this limited self, and then you will continue to be a doer and you will incur all the sin. And in Vedantic term, sin means what? Both papa and punya. In Vedantic term, sin means both papa and punya. Why? Because they both are capable of keeping you away from the atma. You will continue to take birth, your punya also. If your paap approach you take birth, your punya you take birth. Anything that will keep you away from your original self is considered sin from Vedantic standard. So, in 30
years... Is it scary to kind of scare one to live well, or...?
It's not scary, it's true. You may not get scared. It's okay, I want punya, let me go to heaven.
No, we don't know whether there is heaven.
When somebody tells you, like now you see all these promotions in the theaters also, wherever you go, how bad the cigarette smoking is, how powerful it is. They are saying that. Now listening to that, there are people who get scared. As a result, they may stop smoking. There are people who may not get scared, they may not know how to deal with it, they may continue smoking. So, scripture's job is to explain to you. If you are having a desire, propelling your action, this will be the result. Now, you live it, you don't live it, it's up to you. You have to reflect, and once you get the point, yes, at least you become very clear that I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intellect. And scriptures are saying, I am that Atma which always exists. And that Atma theoretically now I understand, but now I need to go achieve it. So at least some sort of purpose will be attached to you. At least you will become clear that I am not this body. Because I am myself saying that I am the, my body is aching. So when I say my body is aching, I am different from the body. So all these things become slightly clear to you. But the Atma is still not established. The I am Atma is still not established. That is where the Venus comes, the effort comes. But at least you will understand that, yes, Atma, electricity example, petrol example, all the examples, in fact, this 13th and 14th also is going to talk about it. So as a result, what happens, I understand that Atma is that which in its presence everything results to activity, but that is not the cause of action. And when I understand that, more and more I become that. As you think, so shall you become. That's the idea. So, yes, there may be few people, in fact, not few people, she is in a way right, majority of them only want proper, only want to avoid pop. They only want to need. If I do unselfish, I will get some punya. Somewhere my ticket will be booked for some sort of pleasure. I rather go for that. So why I avoid paap? It's because my attachment to punya is there. But what scriptures are trying to tell us is, you should not be attached to even punya. So 13 and 14. These are taken together because they talk about the five causes for action.
पंचैतानि महाबाहो पंचैतानि महाबाहो कारणानि निबोधने कारणानि निबोधने सांख्ये कृतान्ते प्रोक्तानि सांख्ये कृतान्ते प्रोक्तानि सिद्धये सर्वकर्मणां सिद्धये सर्वकर्मणां पंचैतानि महाबाहो कारणानि निबोधने सांख्ये कृतान्ते प्रोक्तानि सिद्धये सर्वकर्मणां अधिष्ठानं तथा कर्ताः अधिष्ठानं तथा कर्ताः करणं च पृथग्विधं करणं च पृथग्विधं विविधाश्च पृथक्चेष्टाः विविधाश्च पृथक्चेष्टाः दैवं चैवास्त पञ्चमं दैवं चैवास्त पञ्चमं अधिष्ठानं तथा कर्ताः करणं च पृथग्विधं विविधाश्च पृथक्चेष्टाः दैवं चैवास्त पञ्चमं.
These five causes for accomplishment of all actions, learn from me, O Mahabaho, O mighty Arjuna, as declared in Sankhya, which is the end of action. In fact, the word Kritante, Swamiji has interpreted as end of action. Also, Kritante means end of scriptures. The end of scriptures is Vedanta. So in Vedanta, the Sankhya philosophy, which is the logical explanation of Atma, comes. So in that end, it is explained that five causes. What are the five causes? The first one is seat, the body. Here the word body means the gross body, subtle body and causal body. And karta, doer. Doer is indweller, actor, the conditioned consciousness. When the consciousness expresses through the body, mind, intellect, it is conditioned by this, and that conditioned consciousness is the doer. Karanam means different types of instruments. All these instruments are the mind, intellect, ego, organs of perception, organs of action. Five organs of perception and five organs of action. All these put together are the karanam instruments. And then distinct and various functions of all these karanam has various functions. They are also the cause. It's not just the karanam, but the very functions. And then finally he says devam, Lord. Lord here means the Atma, the Self. Atma, the Self is mentioned here as one of the causes, not directly. In the presence of Atma, everything acts. Your equipment, your karanam, your functions, everything is able to function because of Atma. So by explaining this, what he wants to derive home to us is that Atma remains an inactive principle. Remaining inactive, it enables everything to act. In this context, we have seen example of petrol. Remaining inactive, it makes all the vehicles move. The petrol by itself doesn't have any desire to move up. The performance is depending upon the engine and reaching destination safely or not depends upon the driver. And yet, the car cannot move without petrol. In that sense, without the Self, Daivam, the Lord, action is not possible. But the seat, the body, the karta, the doer, conditioned consciousness, karanam, the mind, intellect, ego, five organs of perception, five organs of action, and the complete functions of all this put together becomes enabled to act in the presence of Atma. So what he actually wants us to say, which he says after one or two verses, is that therefore if you understand, Atma doesn't do, but unintelligent fellow thinks that I am doing. I am not the doer, it is the equipments which function in the presence of myself. That's it. Once I understand that, then I will not be a doer in any action. And as a result, I will not get any vasanas. And when I don't get any vasanas, already existing vasanas have been acted upon. And the new vasanas are not created. Thus we have seen the formula before, man minus desire equals God. Then the person dropping vasanas reaches the Self. So in this portion, he is giving us the gyan that Atma doesn't do anything, which is already given us. If you remember chapter 4, verse 18, we talked about it. There in 17 he said, you should know karma, you should know vikarma, you should know akarma. Where karma means action, vikarma means forbidden action, and akarma means the inactive principle that makes all action possible. There, if you remember, we discussed these examples. That you go board the train in Delhi to go to Jaipur. And having boarded the train, you sleep. When you wake up, you are in Jaipur. You say, I move from Delhi to Jaipur. But actually, one move?
The train.
So, the movement is because of the mind, but the Atma is not moving. Adi Shankara gives another example in Atma Bodha. Like, it appears as if the moon is moving, but it is actually the clouds that are moving, not the moon. Similarly, when our thoughts are moving, and our body is functioning, we think I am doing. And because of this delusion, I imagine myself to be a doer and do the action and incur all this vasana. Once this becomes clear, I understand that I am not doing. It is my equipments that are functioning in my present. I have nothing to do with them. And once I become such an objective person, one doubt may come. What is the doubt which normally in every class everybody asks? I think in this class many times Mamataji has asked, and I said that the moment you become aware, you cannot do any actions which are wrong consciously. Because this, what will happen is, once you understand this wrongly, then what? My body is only doing, doesn't matter whatever I do. 100% correct, actually speaking. You remember that story of a convict and judge? A convict who had murdered somebody was brought to the court. And in the court he was arguing that I didn't do the murder, my body did. So judge said, yes, you didn't commit the murder. So don't worry, we will not imprison you. But since your body committed the murder, we'll imprison the body. So once this is clear, the fact that you become aware, with awareness, you can't do any actions which are selfish, self-centered, detrimental. It's impossible. Consciously you can eat, but consciously you can't overeat. You understand? Therefore, anything that which is done by a mind obsession will not be done anymore. All these justifications come from mind justification, right? That actually I am Atma, kya prak pata hai, koi bhi kar sakta hai. But that is what is propelling you, mind obsession, which means the knowledge is still not clear. The moment knowledge becomes clear, then I can't consciously do any negative action. Because I clearly understand I am not the doer. I just allow my body to function, and my body will be allowed to function always in the dharmic context. Next verse.
Shariravamanobhivyat karma prarabhate narah nyayam va viparitam va manchaite tasya etavah shariravamanobhivyat karma prarabhate narah nyayam va viparitam va manchaite tasya etavah.
Whatever action a man performs by body, speech, mind, whether right or otherwise, these five are its causes. Meaning what? Whether it is selfish actions or unselfish actions, whether it is good, bad, doesn't matter. The cause is only these five, nothing else. But in these five also, Atma is not the cause like the other four are. Atma is only a catalyst. In its presence, others act. So why does a person do any good action? Propelled by what? All these five. Why does a person do good action? Propelled by the same five. Whether bad or good, righteous, unrighteous, all are done by these five causes only. Other than these five, there is nothing else. So therefore, see, he's talking about bodily actions, actions done by speech, and actions done by thought. In fact, from a philosophical angle, you committed sin the moment you had negative thought. Now all of us could have negative thoughts, but not necessarily all of us acted upon it. When I say this, again I need to clarify. Just a negative thought popping up is not what I am talking about. Identifying with it mentally is what I am talking about. But after that, some person may go and act upon it. Right? Like if you develop certain negative thoughts and continuously fed the thought all the time, but you did not act upon it. So at the physical level, in the worldly level, you may not incur jail or anything like that. But the fact that mentally you have also been incurring that kind of negative thoughts, the reaction of the thoughts you will have to incur. Therefore, a thought popping up is not a problem. That's okay. That comes because the impression is there. Are you with me? But if you keep on allowing, indulging in it, then it forms an impression. Then the reaction comes. That's what you need to understand. That's why we say, oh, I've been thinking these negative thoughts. But is it okay? Negative thought popping up is not a problem. What do you do with it? So therefore, whether it is action or even speech or even thoughts come from all this five only. Now in 16 he is going to say,
if I feel that mamta is selfish, that is identifying with her behavior, swami. So that's a thought that has come, and I say, no, maybe I'm just thinking not there. Again, when I have touch with her, and again the same for something else, that, oh, I want to be so close. So then that becomes an impression, that mamta is there.
No, what I'm saying is,
no, I want to understand whether this is, where does this fall, this kind of thought process.
See, does that thought of mamta is selfish coming from discrimination or indiscriminate thought? After analyzing, I know of all these people here, this is the nature of this person, that is the nature of the person. As an assessment, I know that person has X amount of negativity, X amount of positivity. This person has X amount of negativity, positivity. Now, in spite of their negativity, I may still love them. Right? Or I have a negative thought towards her, they are very selfish, they are very bad people. A thought has come. Then I keep on indulging in the thought. Then it will create a reaction. If the thought came, even though it comes from mind, not necessarily from intellect, but if I don't indulge in it further, that's okay. But if I indulge in it further, then it will form impression.
So indulge when I meet her again, I think, oh God. But if you
want to again,
she
will have something. That means that, huh?
You always have a choice of not meeting
her. Pardon?
No. It's a negative impression that you have a choice of not meeting her. No,
I want to know whether that is, that impression
creates
or that's
which
happening one?
To you.
No, I didn't hear what you
said.
I said that you always have a choice of not meeting that person
with you.
But
meeting,
cheating,
or
that's not.
Nothing to do with meeting or not meeting.
Yeah, it's in my mind or
it's in the mind.
In your mind, if you are given an impetus to the thought, then it will create repercussion, it will create reaction. If you did not give a negative thought, brush it aside. I need to analyze, I am not going to go with this. A negative feeling comes, you know.
But the question is, could it be a fact?
Even if it is a fact. What we are saying is, it's nothing to do with whether the other person is negative, positive, whether it's factual or not. Your thoughts are running without your control in a certain direction. Therefore, that will have its own reaction. Obviously. That will form a certain impression. In other words, what you are asking Mataji is that the other person is very negative only. I am thinking negative. That is not wrong. That is my assessment.
That is assessment and discernment.
Uske baad, if I am going on thinking negative about that fellow, I am talking about that. So therefore, whether factually he is negative or not doesn't matter. Okay? Even if your intellect analyzed factually said he is negative, she is negative, then if I continue developing negativity in me, that negativity causes stress in me. Go forget about all the karma, punya, papa and all that. The fact that I continue thinking negatively, it releases certain negative chemicals in me, and the negative chemicals over a period of time constantly my body getting soaked in it has certain reactions and I develop certain stress related issues in my body. So therefore, in my interest, now if that person is negative, I deal with that person. So now I can say, okay, I know Madhu is negative. And as much as possible, I don't want to deal with it. But work related, I need to deal with her because we work in the same organization. So I deal with her that much objectively and I move away. This is my assessment. But I'm not going on thinking negative.
I have another question to you. Has impacted an entire community, a village, a family. So whether whoever is a part of that family or village or community assesses that it is selfish, but it is harmed. So the assessment is there that the person is selfish and self-centered.
So what is the question?
No, so
that is not the problem.
When it impacted a certain
that is also not a problem. Are you creating negativity in you? It will, anything created negativity will have negative
effect. People have to act with objectivity.
Exactly. Krishna said the same thing, no?
He's a firefighter.
Duryodhana, take the example of Duryodhana. He did something very, very negative. So he's been asked to do the action. Right? He's been asked to do the action. He do it. But do it unselfishly. Do it unselfishly. Do it unselfishly then, sorry. Do it non-egoistically.
No, like one must address the situation.
Yes,
You have to kill, you kill. If it's your duty. Please understand, as a Kshatriya.
She's very rough. She's like...
Huh?
Man, take it seriously.
Behave, Bhadiji, behave. Jokes apart. No, see, please understand. The point what I'm trying to tell you is, physical action has no repercussions.
Yeah.
What is your intention? Physically, if you happen to be the Kshatriya, you have to do that. Like Arjuna has been told, go cut the fellow. Go kill him. Right? That's fine. We are not talking about physical, we are talking about mental impetus. And now the other, one is physically you have not done anything. Sorry, physically you have done something, but mental impetus is not there, which is what Arjuna was asked to do. I am talking about the Buddha. Physically you didn't do anything. But mentally created this revenge feeling, negative feeling, that will have its own repercussions in it.
That's what we do. Physically we don't.
That is why we say forgive. Forgive doesn't mean don't take the corrective actions. In your mind, when you give at the mental level, it's forgiving. You understand that the person may be brought up in a wrong way, he's brought up in a certain, see, end of the day. Please understand this. Ideologies. You understand? But terrorist, for example, is functioning in a certain way. He is kind of
brainwashed
to believe that he is doing this is the right thing. If you constantly, you know, all of us, you know, if you constantly see certain videos, you will get conditioned. You may think that I am a very clear thinker and this and that, you know. You constantly read this WhatsApp that comes, and the information that comes from all different sources, read every video, this, that. If you constantly go, you will be conditioned. If you have to be very careful. Very rarely a person can be unconditioned. Majority gets conditioned. You understand? So therefore, if you develop any unconscious thought flow and you have a doership, you will have to be at a different level. It's not that both will penalize you because you have not done the murder. But it is possible that somebody else may commit a murder. You don't know. Or it could be in many different ways it can come. It can mix the karma, how it will work, we don't know. We can't say exactly somebody else will start thinking negative about you. I'm not getting into that kind of a conversation. If you do poke me here, somebody else will come and poke you here. I'm not talking like that. These things will have impetus, will have mixture with all the other things, and what repercussion it will bring out later. So if it is positive, it will be positive. If it's negative, it will be negative. That is why we say, don't keep giving impetus to it. Then it will come. The frustration builds and you will do something. Or you will take it out somewhere else. You have no idea. That is why whatever has to be done physically, you do. Because we studied, na? The body is doing, I am not doing. You are clear. You don't. And the action is over, you move on. There is some sort of a mental involvement. See, it's easier said than done, all these things that we discuss. It's easier said than done. Can you do without impressions? Can you do this kind of action that Arjuna has been told to do without impressions? Krishna can do. Meaning, you have to rise to that level of knowledge. So end of the day, I have a certain ideology, I am trying to sell it to you. You have a certain ideology, you are trying to sell it. Right? Now, how many of us who are part of this game really assess everything objectively? It's very interesting. If you go and ask Sri Lanka Tamilians, especially that those groups, they'll have their own distinct, because they have had certain experiences, right in front of their eyes, their mothers, sisters were raped. They have certain experiences, so they are conditioned in a certain way. So they may come up with their own ideology, they may come up. So that is where we need to be very clear. Not to have any involvement. Do the right thing, whatever it is. But do it without ego involvement. Then you are taking sides, no. I am right, you are right, you are wrong, I am right. The moment I comes, ego comes, then the whole thing is different. Then I am doing. Here, what Krishna is saying is, you are not doing. Animals, do they incur any sin? In fact, a friend of mine used to tell me about this book. It's called Why Zebras Don't Get Stressed, something like that. Stressed. He says, a lot of science in it. So he has not told me to read the book, but he told me the gist of it. If a zebra is chased by a tiger, it will run, right? The adrenaline function and then starts running. And after the zebra escapes from the tiger, within few seconds or minutes, you can aramse graze the field. can that happen to you? In the case of animals, they are designed like that. The stress that is created in the body due to the tiger makes the body run, and by running the chemical is exhausted. Okay? And it is not gone to the mind. Zebra aranse graces. Similarly, the instinct of hunger came, ate the food, and then that's it. Whereas the food is not in the mind. In the case of a human being, the instinct comes to eat the food, then it's a very tasty food, nice food, go on thinking about it, then the food is gone into your head. That is all Krishna is trying to say. Head is the problem. We are all living at the cerebral level. We are none of us are living at the body level. J. Krishnamurti's quotation, I think that's good. Did I read it last week here? Not here. It's a very interesting quotation he gives, J. Krishnamurti. He says, life is like the river, running, swift, volatile, never still. Life is like the river, running, swift, volatile, never still. You meet life with a heavy burden of memory. You meet life with a heavy burden of memory, of experience. Naturally, you never contact life. Yes, life is like a river, running, swift, volatile, never still. You meet life with a heavy burden of memory, of experiences. Naturally, you never contact life.
What the person says, then you're living in the past.
Exactly. You're living in the past and future, your mind is constantly running. And therefore, the negative keeps on, whatever negative, positive, whatever it keeps on, breeding more and more impressions. There is pain in the body, but you take the body pain right into the mind. Mind feels it, no doubt. Pain is felt in the mind. Right? But once you feel it, then you go on thinking about it, then the pain becomes a mental pain now.
But when you're saying that when you're involved in it, or it becomes a burden because your mind is getting involved. But I think what she's asking is that what is the difference between an impression or an objective assessment? Like when is it an impression and when...
Impression is when your thought continuously runs towards it unintelligently. When I take it to it, then it doesn't form an impression. But by itself when it runs, it forms an impression.
Then again it's again where your mind is involved. Again in impression your mind...
After assessment, the mind gets involved, then it runs up it unless... Therefore, assessment is by the intellect, no doubt. Iske baad, you have to make sure your mind doesn't go on ruminating over it. There again the intellect has control. If not, the mind will ruminate about the assessment. Then you create a negative feeling. And then once the negative feeling is created, it will create impression. That's the problem. And it will come out somewhere. Even though you didn't murder that fellow, another fellow murdered him, you may do something else somewhere, because it's all there. It has to come out, right? That frustration will come out somewhere. Maybe you will shout at your children or your employees or somewhere else. You don't understand. That's all he's saying. 16.
तत्रैवं सति कर्तारं तत्रैवं सति कर्तारं आत्मानं केवलं तु यः आत्मानं केवलं तु यः पश्यत्यकृतबुद्धित्वा न तपश्यति दुर्मतिः न तपश्यति दुर्मतिः तत्रैवं सति कर्तारं आत्मानं केवलं तु यः पश्यत्यकृतबुद्धित्वा न तपश्यति दुर्मतिः.
Such being the case, what being the case? These five being the cause of action. And in this five also we studied about Daivam, the Atma, how it is a cause. Verily he who due to undeveloped intellect sees self alone as dual. He of imperfect judgment sees not. In other words, a person who is not capable of thinking correctly, he comes to the wrong conclusion that Atma is a doer. I am a doer. I am doing this. All that he is trying to say is, there is your body, your mind, your intellect, it has its own functions. And they function in the presence of the self. Self has neither desire to make them function, self has no desire not to make them function. Simply in the presence of the self, they function. You get involved in the body, mind, intellect, and you think you are this individual self who is the doer, and then you create all the impressions of it. So therefore he says, such undeveloped intellect, those people who have undeveloped intellect, they think. Meaning who are properly not reflected. Those who do not properly reflect. So that is why Jesus Christ says, hate the sin and not the sinner. Because there is nobody who is a sinner. Because everybody is essentially Atma. And Atma is not a sinner at all. It's only due to unintelligent thinking the person behaves in that way. So yes, you need to treat the person. Now the question is, oh, then let them free. No. You remember that story I told you which actually happened in US? Many stories are there like that. A fellow in sleepwalking went and murdered his own father-in-law. The court acquitted him, but said, you are not going home. You are going to rehabilitation center. Because you have a certain issue. It needs to be sorted out. But he is acquitted. Why? Because he didn't have the mens rea. In law, they say it's called mens rea. Mens rea means no intention. You mean? Therefore, that person was acquitted. But he was made to go to rehabilitation center and was let out only after complete rehabilitation was done. Even after, I believe, even after release, he was constantly monitored. Constantly monitored. And when he sleeps, he may go and do something else. Therefore, all the whole world, why? That is why Maurice Maeterlinck says, happy and blessed are is when wickedness stands forth revealed as a goodness bereft of a guide. Bereft of a guide. He is also goodness, but bereft of a guide. Bereft of good knowledge, good values, clear thinking. That's why they don't like. So you need to rehabilitate. So from your side, therefore, you will have this attitude. You will not have, what do you call, negative feeling. But it needs to be done, you will do it.
यस्य नाहं कृतो भावः यस्य नाहं कृतो भावः बुद्धिर्यस्य न लिप्यते बुद्धिर्यस्य न लिप्यते हत्वा विषयिमान् लोकान् हत्वा विषयिमान् लोकान् नहन्ति न निबध्यते नहन्ति न निबध्यते यस्य नाहं कृतो भावः बुद्धिर्यस्य न लिप्यते हत्वा विषयिमान् लोकान् Nahantinani Vadyade. Now he says the same thing what we've been discussing. He says, free from egoistic notion, but I am the doer. He whose intellect is not tainted, whose intellect is not confused, even killing these people, he kills not. Even killing these people, he kills not. He is not bound. When he is not bound? When in his intellect is very clear that he is Atma, the non-doer.
When I am thinking I am the poor, this is not applicable. He is killing when he is killing. If you think he is a doer. If he thinks he is a doer. Even though killing, if he thinks he is not a doer, then he has no bondage. No vasana, no impression. Exactly like animals. In the case of animals, they are unconsciously perfect. In the case of humans, they are consciously imperfect, says Jai Krishna. So once you gain this knowledge, you become consciously perfect. Your actions thereafter doesn't incur any sin. So the cause is the delusion here. What is the delusion? That I am the doer. All the Vedanta are saying is, understand that you are not the doer.
So all these animal examples are in the Vedanta or they are by people who read the book? That animal is not intelligent, animal does things without reason, animal has no stress, animal... Is this
all
part of Vedanta or...
Animal has no stress is what I explained to you from other... Not
no, no.
From.
So, is this connected with Vedanta? Do they have anywhere in Vedanta? Do they talk about animals
mentioned
as well? In the philosophy of Vedanta...
Animal, this context should be. In this context that they don't have any power or puny, I mean to say that.
No. Whether they are intelligent enough that they just get for the heck of killing, or they... Whatever they do is not in the doership.
No, they don't go into the details of whatever Vedanta texts that are available, like why they don't, they go into the details of proving that animals therefore like that. But they generally may refer it here and there. But the, where it is given, explained, is by the science. In the books of science, they explain that. Science books explain all this. Vedanta may generally say, right, but science book explains like why they do not have any stress. You can also, if you can live moment to moment, you will not have any stress. Animals live like that, right? They don't get into the mind. Basically, the point that we need to understand is, this, like for example, you are asking a reference, though they don't talk about animals there. In the Gita Upanishad, verse 5, chapter 2, it clearly says, Yacheda veti tata satyam, achediha veti bhati nishta. If you lived according to this knowledge, Vedanta, you lived a life of fulfillment, satyam. Otherwise you waste your time. What he means is, you are living in your mind. We all live in the mind actually. So, there is life going on passing, and we are going on living in our minds. Leave that and come to the life. So what is actually happening is, we have never bathed in the river called life, or very seldom here and there. But we have lived for 50 years, 70 years, 100 years. But we did not really taste life. We only tasted existing, not life. Mechanically existing. That's all they say. So very clearly now he concluded, 13 to 17. Whatever he said from 13 to 16 is to come to this conclusion. What? That you are Atma the non-doer. Being Atma the non-doer, even though you kill, you are not incurring sin. Killing is an example here in the context because of Arjuna being on the battlefield. And for us, such an action, in the modern context, we give the example of a hangman. Hangman is killing, no? Is he killing or not?
He's killing, he's doing duty.
But is he incurring any sin?
No.
Doctor has plunged the knife in the patient's body. The surgery may end up in failure. The patient may die. Has the doctor incurred any sin? If he had been negligent, yes. Not a problem.
because he was only doing his duty.
Judge also declaring
a person guilty purely because of the merit of the case. Is he committing any sin?
No.
He has no personal intention that they should suffer in jail for life or they should be hanged to death. He has no personal vendetta. But the case by case goes and takes the decision, then he doesn't incur any sin. Now, he gives another few reasons for action. Here, what you need to understand is, he's going to talk about knowledge and all that. Would your mind run after a thing which you don't know?
Connect with them.
Would your mind run after something which you don't know?
No.
You don't know anything about something, your mind will not run. But the moment you come to know of it, then your mind can run. And once your mind runs, then what you do?
Yeah.
You start acting to achieve that object.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So always, your action is propelled by what?
Knowledge.
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 You understand? So another reasoning is giving. The knowledge of that, knowledge here, not knowledge of Atma.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge of that object, right, makes me desire that object or not desire that object. So when I desire the object, I act moving towards that object. When I don't desire that object, I act moving away from the object. So my knowledge makes me act. Correct? So in the next verse, 18 and 19, he's going to talk about knowledge, known and knower, action, actor and actor. Action and actor, all are being analyzed for us to tell that all these three are causes. Knowledge, action, actor, know, knower, all are the cause of action. Again, another way of analyzing the cause. So, after this, you will get into actual analysis of three types of knowledge, three types of action, three types of actor, all that comes. And when we do that portion, then finally you can make a chart of yourself. In the chart, you can analyze as to how much of sattva rajas tamas you have. So next verse. Jnanam jneyam parijnata, jnanam jneyam parijnata, trivida karma chodana, trivida karma chodana, karanam karma karteti, karanam karma karteti, trivida karma sangraha, trivida karma sangraha, jnanam jneyam parijnata, trivida karma chodana, karanam karma karteti, trivida karma sangraha. Jnanam means knowledge, Jnayam means known, Parijnata means known, knower, knowing the known. The three things are involved, no? The subject, object and the actual knowing. These three are the impulse to action, while instrument, action and actor, action, actor and his instruments are the threefold constituents of action. What makes you act? He says knowledge and the known and the knower. And what are the actual constituents of action? With what do you do the action? The actor is doing the action. Knower is not doing the action. Knower has to become the actor and he has to actually act. And while he is actually acting, he has to use the instruments. Is it clear?
No.
Not clear. Three impulses to action. Impulses means what? What makes you act? I explained to you. You don't know anything about a watch. You do not desire it. You do not act. The moment you know what? Watch. Watch becomes the known. Right? You are the mover. Give us the knowledge of watch. These three are the cause which makes you act later on. Are you with me? And when it makes you actually act, three constituents. What are they? Actual action performed by the actor using the instruments. The body, mind, ability. So all these three becomes the constituents of action, while knowledge, known and knower becomes the impulse to action. In short, without knowledge you cannot act. He is not talking about the knowledge of the field. Here, knowledge of the object. No. Something you don't know, would you act? Would you even have, since we discussed this negative feeling, supposing you don't know anything about a person, but there is a person who lives like that, somewhere. Would you have developed any negative feeling for him or her?
No. The feeling is developed
based on
the experience. Not
knowing. Even forget experience. Going on hearing. Hearing is experience. You didn't experience that man. You only heard about that man. You only heard about that woman. You didn't experience that man's selfish activity or the woman's selfish activity. They go on hearing, listening. You can form an opinion if your feeling can stir up because of that. But a lot of people, that is why I am trying to tell you, go on listening one side, whichever side it is. You will get blessed. You may think, I will not get biased. Maybe 50th time you will not get biased. 20th time you will. It requires tremendous objectivity not to be conditioned. It's easier said than done. Even, you know, how did you form any conclusion? Afterwards what happens, you go on reiterating that conclusion. You try to find out, when you read something about somebody which seems to be a positive article, let's say, even when you read, you are in disagreement. First read, fully read it, then see what they are trying to say, then you accept or disagree. It's a different matter. It will not happen when you are biased. As you are reading, you start picking up. In fact, in short, what you are doing is, you start seeing the emptiness, not seeing the fullness. You can see that, you can experience it. If you are biased, then you know that I am biased. Whenever you read, you know, if you are against somebody, to whatever it may be, maybe your experience, maybe whatever, right? And there are people who are writing positive about them. When you read the article, if these feelings are coming straight away, you try and find faults here and there, then you are biased. Fully read it. You must firstly have the maturity to go through that. It's not easy. And that is why Vedanta says, you need to dwell on the subject more till you become unbiased. And what is the another very interesting thing, because we discussed about selfish, unselfish and all that kind of a thing. Don't you see generally in relationships also, he's changed, she's changed. Why? Because mind is something that can change. So how do you know that this person will not change for positive, and how do you know that person will not change for negative? If this or that person who has brought about such a living out of conviction, then a possibility is there that they will not change. But if they are behaving in a certain way out of conditioning, then can they not change?
If somebody
is a Gujarati by birth, and Gujarat is banned, right? Vegetarianism is there. So you are a vegetarian, not by your conviction, let's say,
then can he not become a non-vegetarian later on? Are you with me? Similarly, there are people who are conditioned to be non-vegetarians. And later on, out of conviction, they have become vegetarians. Are you with me? Now, sometimes what happens, if you are not out of conviction, but just out of habit, you are a vegetarian. You could change tomorrow. So why take sides? You understand? Never ever. That is what Krishna, precisely why he appealed to Duryodhana and the entire party. Please, if you want, let's stop the war now, right now. But since they are not doing, then he told Arjuna to quit. Then he was told, right? First they tried, no? Sama, Dana, Veda, they tried all that. Sama, Dana, Veda was tried. Since it didn't yield any result, then the only option was to fight, because they waged the war. They only accepted the war. They waged the war. So that is called objectivity. So now, we'll see this next week, because from this portion is actually a very interesting portion. It's called personality chart. If you understand what he is talking about here, he's already completed one, which is sattvic, rajasic, tamasic renunciation. Now on, he'll talk about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic knowledge, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic action, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic actor, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic buddhi, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic consistency, and sattvic, rajasic, tamasic happiness. So when you understand all this and you make your own chart, then you can find out how much of sattva, rajas, tamas you have. Where am I? Where to go? How do I proceed? Life becomes clearer to you where you stand. So let's conclude with this verse.
सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।